Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is a trainer education, and we're going to discuss dealing with needy clients. So we're going to give you a couple examples of situations in which it can feel overwhelming when clients need attention from the trainer. And as trainers who would, if you're listening to this podcast, you're automatically a trainer who actually cares, because otherwise you wouldn't be trying to listen to a podcast that would make you a better trainer. So it kind of makes sense. So if you're in that category of trainers, you're going to want to do your best. You're going to want to give your best. You're going to want to help people, but it's going to feel overwhelming at times. You're going to feel frustrated at times, and maybe you even feel guilty about feeling frustrated at times. And I want to kind of explain a little bit about how that's very normal, very common, and you shouldn't feel guilty about it. It's natural to have kind of negative reactions from time to time to certain things. What we are responsible for isn't necessarily the negative reaction that's kind of a natural initial thing. It's if we act negatively upon that reaction. So sometimes people feel guilty in life for having kind of like maybe some bad thoughts that come up when something surprises them or catches them off guard. That is not your fault. It's a natural reaction. But what you do from there, the actions you put into it, the words you put into it, what you do with that is your control. So that's what we want to go over here, is how do we kind of hold back from acting out in a negative way, like either getting burned out or like kind of being a smart ass to our client about certain things, or just getting frustrating and kind of like just not wanting to deal with anybody and kind of being angry and mad all day. So that's not a healthy place to be mentally. So one of the things I get to do, I'm very fortunate and lucky to do, is to mentor younger trainers. So we used to have interns come through here from the local university for quite a few years, worked with like, I think 20 or 30 of them. And that was beneficial, but kind of the down part was is they weren't very useful in the sense of business promotion, business growth. So they were usually pretty new. They had never really had hands-on experience with clients before. So it was hard in certain cases to be able to give them public to work with. They almost couldn't, they didn't know enough to work with somebody one-on-one. And or we could do it, but it wasn't a fair situation to charge people for, because their knowledge was kind of still new. So if you have somebody who's brand new to lifting weights and don't even know the difference between a barbell and a dumbbell, it was a great opportunity to get them, those kind of people, in the gym, give the intern some experience, but it wasn't the greatest situation to kind of like make profit for the business. So it was fun to educate, but it was a lot of time, and I didn't want to keep doing it, to be very honest. So it was multiple hours a day, 4 to 6 to 8 hours a day that they were supposed to be here, and we weren't getting anything for it. So that kind of, it ran its course in terms of charity work. So, but it was very helpful. It was fun. I taught for 7 years at the local university as well, and one of the classes I taught was a weight training class where we taught students how to, like, set up training plans, nutrition plans, almost how to be trainers to themselves. And we taught for all goals. Like, we had 3 main goals we taught every semester, was fat loss, bodybuilding, kind of muscle gain, and strength gain. So whenever the students left from that, they would know how to write fat loss, nutrition, and training programs. They would know how to write bodybuilding, nutrition, and training programs. And they would know how to write strength-based training and nutrition programs. So that was part of their final, that was part of their exams, was like writing all this stuff out. So that way they could help themselves throughout the rest of their life, no matter what their goal was. If they got overweight, they would know how to lose weight. If they were underweight, they'd know how to gain size, or if they wanted to get stronger. But they could kind of train themselves throughout the rest of their life. They also had a bunch of family and friends they could help, and that was super fun. And I had well over 500 students through that. And then also I have trainers who are clients of mine that I write their programming, and we have some education aspects in the programming as well. So I have had quite a bit experience of kind of educating trainers, and the things we're going to talk about today are all very natural things that happen in the process. So if you hear some of this, I'm going to use some fun, colorful language and kind of exaggerate a little bit for just to make it real and be honest about it. And if you feel some of this stuff, don't feel guilty. Just take some of the lessons from the podcast and maybe it can help you deal with these emotions. So one of the first things that we get is you'll send a program to a client or email, text or something, but you'll tell them something you want them to do. Either it's a nutrition or a training or something like that. And they write back and they'll say, in the program you wrote, and they have like a quotation of it, like, or they'll write like literally what you wrote, and they'll say, what does that mean? And a natural trainer's reaction is, what the hell do you think, like, it means exactly what I wrote? So if it says do, you know, bench press for 3 sets of 10, it means do bench press for 3 sets of 10. So I have had times where somebody will write something like equivalent of that, like, hey, you wrote this, 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 what do you mean by that? And I actually will sit there and kind of feel dumbfounded at first of how to explain it, because what I wrote was the explanation. So it's kind of like maybe you want them to do a variation of an exercise. So you wrote it, and then they say, well, how do I do this? And you're like, that's what I wrote. Like, what you just wrote to me saying that I wrote that is the explanation of the thing that you're asking me to explain. So it's like, ah. So you have no clue how to answer back because that was the answer that you would have given. So it is comical in the sense that you then have to kind of figure out how to say something twice without saying it the same way. And it does have that kind of initial feeling, especially when you deal with a lot of clients. You're trying to hustle all day to see if you can give everybody some attention. And you're not going to get to everybody eventually. Like, eventually your client load will be high enough that if you can communicate with people like once or twice a week, you're doing pretty good. But you're going to try to kind of run through people in the sense of making sure everybody gets some attention. So it's going to be hard at times to control the emotion when somebody asks you for clarity on something that's very simple. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is just wasting more of my time. You know, I already wrote this to you, da-da-da-da-da. So those reactions they're common. Okay, don't feel guilty from that. What you want to do is just take a breath, okay? Reread what you wrote to them and try to word it in a new way. So if you do training long enough, you 100% will make a mistake. So don't get arrogant. Don't be dismissive. You know, don't just write back, what it says is what I would mean, you know, or something stupid like that. Like, actually try to help the person. So if they're asking you, the best way to kind of approach mentally this situation is, if they're asking you for clarity, appreciate the fact that they care enough to get clarity. So they're actually planning to do what you tell them to do, and they want to make sure they're doing it right. That is freaking awesome. Any trainer out there who's already been a trainer for a while will tell you already that clients don't do what you tell them. They pay you money. You will sit there and write it to them, and they still won't do it. So they'll do their version of whatever you wrote, but not really what you actually wrote. So when you have a client who actually wants to get clarity and do things the right way, that's freaking gold right there. So appreciate it. Be excited about it. So yeah, it can be a little bit frustrating to have to kind of rewrite things. And I promise you will make a mistake eventually. So at some point you will make a mistake in what you write. So if you don't reread it, so if somebody says like, hey, on, you know, chest press day, you wrote to do this, this, and this, is that what you mean? Don't just automatically write, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, reread it, look back over the program. Maybe you actually flipped like the sets and reps. Maybe you put something in the wrong order. Maybe you called something by a wrong name. So always, always, always look back over and make sure. It often takes less than 1 minute to pull up a program from like Microsoft Word or Excel or however you do your programming, look it over, and then send them the message back. So it's not a very large time intensive task. So don't dismiss that. Don't overlook it. Don't just be arrogant and kind of send stuff back. So appreciate the fact they want clarity. So that's the best thing you can do when they're asking for clarity in programs, is say, oh, thank you very much for getting clarity. I definitely want to make sure we're doing this the right way. So this, this, this is what I meant. Okay, cool. And then if you make a mistake, just say, oh, sorry, I missed that. Here's what I really meant. And then you move on. You like, please definitely 100% admit if you make a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. So don't be so prideful that you think you have to be perfect and you can't admit mistakes. That's stupid. That's going to get you in trouble everywhere in life, even outside of the gym. So if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. Just say you're sorry, fix it, move on, boom. Okay? So the next situation that comes up a lot is overloads of texts and emails. So people just sending stuff to you, and like on your phone, you'll have like 10 to 12 text messages maybe you have to get back to. Maybe you have 20 emails. So that kind of stuff grows, and that can feel overwhelming in the sense that you feel like that pressure on you to respond is always there. So the first thing you want to do is to set boundaries. And this is actually setting boundaries enforced by yourself against yourself. So it's setting boundaries to you, not to your clients. And what this means is you will want to help everyone. You'll want to answer all those text messages. You'll want to try to get back all the emails. But you're going to feel burned out. Because I've gotten to a point in business where even if I didn't sleep for 3 nights in a row, I still won't answer every email I have. So I apologize to the people waiting. If you're listening to this and waiting on an email, I am trying. But I have had to take this advice myself, is set boundaries. So in my daily schedule, I have time in the early morning, time around mid-morning, and time in the afternoon that I devote to emailing back clients or sending texts back. But I also have times designated to absolutely not do that. So if I want to take an hour to train myself, that is my time. I will not text clients back in between my sets. I will not answer emails in between my sets. My workout is my workout. That's my time. Okay? Maybe if I have maybe time set aside to be with family. So maybe you want to go out for lunch with a friend, or you want to be home for dinner at a certain time, or you want to sit and watch TV at night with a family member or, you know, a significant other or something. You have to set times that you will be available and you will respond. And then you have to set times that you absolutely are not available. You turn off. You can actually literally turn off your phone. Or you can turn off email notifications. So I've done that for a while, but it made me paranoid, so I kind of like changed that. But you can turn off email notifications to where you don't see them until you actually click on Google Mail and like or whatever mail system you use. But you would click on the icon on your phone, or if you don't have an icon for email on your phone, you're probably like 4,000 years old. So what you want to do is you can set and turn off notifications. Where you don't know if you have an email until you actually go looking for them. Or you don't know if you have a text until you actually go looking for them. So that is a great way to teach yourself to be disconnected and not panic. So I have had people email me, okay, at maybe 10 in the morning, asking if I would be available to be like a trainer for them or meet with them. And maybe by 6 or 7 at night, I get another email that says, sorry, so-and-so answered back first, I'm going to go with them. Okay, well, if you gave me 6 hours and you thought all I was doing all day was sitting on my phone so I could text and email everybody, I wouldn't be a very good trainer. So if I could respond instantly to every message that anyone ever sent, apparently I'm not training anybody. I'm not doing anything with my life. Okay, so sometimes if a trainer can't get back to somebody for a day or two, that's a good sign. In the sense that it means that you're active and you're busy. So I don't mean that you shouldn't maybe set aside 30 minutes every day to kind of always have brand new contacts. So that's part of what I do with my scheduling is I actually do have a 30-minute window in my day where I will look through all my texts and emails and say, is there anybody in this category during this time that is brand new, never been to the gym, and they want to see if they can visit the gym? Or if they're reaching out for training via email or text or something like that. So I do have kind of new people is my category name to where I will spend 30 minutes to make sure I address them. You can do it that way, okay? But don't feel like you have to answer back everybody the very second they text you or email you. And one of the reasons why is because you wouldn't be a very good trainer if you could. What that means is, like I said, you wouldn't actually be busy enough to actually be making money and being a good trainer. So if you have all the openings in the world, that's not necessarily a good sign because there should be people in those spaces, right? So when clients, when you do have that sense of lots of text messages and lots of emails, especially when it gets to the point that you can't possibly answer them all in one day, you do have to create separation. You have to set boundaries, times that you will answer, times you won't. You have to have that separation of your time so that way you don't get burned out, okay? It's very, very, very important. You will want to help everyone. I did when I started, and I eventually got to the point where I physically couldn't actually help everybody. So even if I didn't take any of this advice and I tried to answer every text message and every email I got, it would take longer than 24 hours. It would take more time than what I had to give. So I had to learn to be okay with leaving emails until tomorrow. We're leaving text messages until tomorrow. So that does stink, and I do feel bad at times that maybe somebody contacted me, they wanted something, and I wasn't able to get back to them. That is unfortunate, but it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything. I was getting back to somebody else. So in the meantime, and sometimes that happens. So we've talked about in past podcasts for trainers that you also have to, no one wants to talk about this, it's not really politically correct, and you know, people have emotions and stuff about this, but you have to prioritize people based on the money that you make from them. So if you have somebody who pays you, say, 200 and something a month, and then you have somebody who's free that just wants a buddy who wants a question, you're not always going to be able to get back to the buddy, but you better damn well get back to the person that's paying you money. So if they're paying you money, they're committing money to you. You need to commit back. So I do prioritize my clients as well based on the amount of money I earn from them. Now, like I said, that's not super duper politically correct. People don't like to hear that, but it's honoring what they're giving. So if they're giving me their money, which we all know how valuable money is to us, if they're giving of that value, you want to give back. It's a way to respect what they're giving to you, okay? So if you aren't responding to your people based on the pay scale, I'd argue you're maybe not being respectful. So you can argue that many ways, but I would say that there has to be some merit given to free help versus people who have paid for your help. Okay? Now, the next thing that can come up is clients asking questions past their session time. So maybe you do a 30-minute session with somebody, and every single freaking session, they just continue to ask like 5 or 10 minutes worth of questions. Or you're doing an hour session, and even though they've had a ton of time to talk, they now all of a sudden are starting to talk a whole bunch at the end, and you can't get them to shut up. So that happens, and it's totally fine because people are, they're asking you your opinion on something that's actually like a compliment, meaning that they actually care what you think. So that's a cool thing. And it means that they're seeking out more information. They're seeking out ways to get better, become better, to help you help them get better results. So often if it's actual genuine questions, that's a good thing. If somebody's just telling you some kind of goofy story of their life, that's still nice because you still have some connection. You still have friendship, okay? So it's still a good thing. And what I think is the best time keep in mind is when talking with trainers in the past, like they've talked about how they just get mad and they get angry or this and that. And one of the things I always laugh about is our clients often have no clue what time it is. So if you tell them like, oh, we got to fit this in before the end, they don't know if the end is in 5 minutes, in 2 minutes, or if it was 1 minute ago. So often they don't know the time. So don't get mad at somebody if they don't know what time it is. If you haven't clearly told them, hey, our session time is over, then it's not their fault that they're continuing to talk. It's your fault for being timid and not telling them. It's your fault for not taking control of the situation. So don't get mad at them. They don't know the time. Saying something as simple as, sorry, but our session time is up. If you have any more questions, you're welcome to email me and I'll get to them if I can before our next session. So I have literally had to just interrupt somebody in the middle of talking to say that thing because I have my next client standing there waiting. So if someone pays for a unit of time, okay, 30 minutes or 60 minutes, that is their time. So if you have one client that paid for 30 minutes and you're running over into the next client who paid for 30 minutes, that's disrespectful to your next client. And it's not the client previous that's disrespecting the client. Okay, it's you are disrespecting them by not taking control of the situation and moving on. This was a tough lesson I had to learn, okay? But I'm getting better and better at it. Still have some relapses every now because I feel bad about interrupting people. But that's what you got to do, okay? So just simply interrupt them. Say something about like the session time being over, but make that offer. So that like something along the lines of if you have any more questions, you're welcome to email me. And I'll get to them if I can before our next session. But if you notice in that statement, I'm not committing to getting to them. So it's like that wasn't a commitment. It was just an if I can. So don't commit to things that you might not be able to do. I screw this up all the time. So I have to listen to this podcast myself. But I have a sign over my computer right now I'm staring at that says under promise, over deliver. Be a surprise, not a letdown. So I don't want to promise to get emails back to people and then not have the time to do so And then they show up next time and they're like, well, I sent you that email. And it's like, damn it. Yeah, you did. I know you did. Ugh, I wish I would have got to it. So you're not mad at them. You're mad at yourself that you didn't get to it. And or you're mad at yourself that you said you would get to it, but you didn't take the time to do so. So don't commit to things, okay? So if you're not getting paid for that. So if you're not getting paid for the time to answer those emails, don't commit to them. Get to them if you can, but don't commit. Well, another option you have is to charge a programming fee. So charge a fee outside of training session times. And that fee would go towards writing extra workouts, maybe answering emails, you know, texting, like stuff like that. So if you notice you have a client that always requires 15 extra minutes, charge for that. It's not a wrong thing. They need you to do your job for them, so they would pay you. If I need someone to cut my grass, I would pay them. I'm not going to pay them, you know, to cut part of my grass and then expect them to pay the rest of it, like cut the rest of it. So it's like you have to charge for what you are giving of your time and knowledge to that person for. So I have done this before for certain clientele that require me to write extra workouts for them because I'd be making the money I'd make per session, but then I'd be spending an extra 30 minutes to an hour outside of our session time writing workouts for them every month. And without getting paid for that, it was a disservice to myself. It was a disservice kind of like to the progression of the business. So if I don't get paid for the time I'm doing my work, I'm not going to be able to earn money to keep the business going, pay bills, pay taxes, you know, buy new equipment, reupholster or fix broken equipment, old equipment. So the ongoing success of you as a trainer and or business owner is dependent on you being paid for your work. So it's not a bad thing to charge if that work is consistent and required. Okay, you can do some free things here and there, but you should be doing those by choice, not by requirement. Does that make sense? So the next thing we have, the last kind of specific example, is clients who expect more than what's reasonable in terms of communication. So I remember I had a client once. We trained, I think it was like once or twice a week. And on one of the days, I got to my phone at like lunch, and I noticed that they had texted me at like 8-something. And then he texted me at 9-something asking if I got the text from 8-something. Then he texted me later in the 9 o'clock hour saying that the previous two texts that they would like a response back if I could get the time to do so. They'd really appreciate a response, hence guilt trip. Then I got a fourth text before noon that said, hey, I've already texted you 3 times. I really would appreciate a response. I don't like being ignored. And that's real. That's actually a real thing that somebody did. Okay. So when I got to my phone at noon, I could give a shit if I answered that person back. Now, this is my personality, so you don't have to agree with me. I'm not asking you to do the same, and I'm not asking you to agree. But that is ridiculous behavior. Because I was training clients from 7 in the morning till noon. I didn't have my phone. I don't carry my phone when I train people because I'm not an asshole who carries their phone when they train people. So if I'm training someone, they have my attention. Not anybody else. I'm not going to be checking my phone, checking Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, any of that bullshit. So if someone pays me for my attention, I'm going to give them my attention. One-on-one full attention. If this person, who was well aware of the way that I worked my business, okay, can't handle going 4 hours, and by the way, what they needed to know had nothing to do with time sensitivity. So it is absolutely irregardless of time. It was just that they wanted to know it. They didn't really give a shit about anybody else's life or schedule. Everything was about them. So, when I texted them back, I said, I have gotten your messages now. I am on my lunch break. In the future, you can message me once and I will reply when I can. If you are not okay with this speed of communication, you are welcome to go with another trainer. Because I could care less if they went somewhere else. They were clearly a pain in the ass, so keeping them might not have been the best thing for me. So money be damned, those people are not worth the money. So that was somebody that didn't last super duper long, and they were very needy, and we had a whole bunch of other issues. So, I should have got rid of them the first time. But that does happen. I've also had somebody message me and say, haven't heard from you a while, and that's literally all they wrote, so that's basically a way of saying, hi, I'm needy, pay attention to me. And I communicated with them like 2 days before that. So it was like, holy crap, what's changed? So this does happen, and there's millions of other examples. And I don't mean to be an asshole, but you will know this if you're a trainer, and you'll know this if you're a client and you think it through, is trainers, in order to make all the money they need for a living, they're going to have more than one client. They're going to have more than 10 clients. They're going to have more than 20 maybe. So as much as they do want to give you attention, they have to divide that attention up by how many clients they have. And that means that they have to treat you as an equal. And sometimes you'll be able to communicate with somebody every day. Sometimes you might have to do it every other day. Sometimes it might be twice a week. So my goal is the people who pay me for my full service cost is to try to communicate with them at least once a week. I usually try twice a week if I can. Sometimes if people are giving like less payments or something like that, or some kind of weird scenario where it's not quite as much, if I get back once a week, that's great. If it's once a month or once every 2 weeks, then so be it, because they're not giving as much of a financial commitment to the time. So again, none of these are politically correct things. People aren't going to like hearing this maybe, but that is how you have to kind of run the business side of things. So as much as you want to help individuals, and you do care, I promise I care, and I know that you would care, but you still have to pay bills. You still have to kind of pay attention to the people who are giving you the most attention in terms of like what their life has to offer. Meaning if they're giving you more money, that means they are working to earn that money, and they're giving that to you. So they want you to work for them. So that's kind of the trade-off, right? So when you have people who are needy beyond what's reasonable, first of all, ask yourself, did I communicate clearly at what type or degree or frequency of communication, what level of communication was to be expected? If not, then that is your fault up until this point right now. And it is now your responsibility to communicate what you want to happen. So if you have not communicated on clear boundaries of communication, it is your fault, not the client's. You then need to decide on what level of communication you are comfortable with, and then communicate that to them. So, let's say, for example, I had a client who says, like, here you go. So I had a client who sent me some videos of them lifting on, like, I think like a Monday. And then on Tuesday, they sent me new videos and said, I haven't heard from you about yesterday's videos. I would really like feedback every time I send videos, please. And I had already given them clarification that I was going to try my best to communicate twice a week. So I wrote back to them and I said, hey, you know, I appreciate you sending the videos. I'll try to look at yesterday's videos as soon as I can today. I'm going to try my best to get back to you today. I might be tomorrow. So usually my best levels of communication will be at least once a week, but I'm definitely going to try for twice a week. However, if you have any emergencies, you're always welcome to text me. I'll try to answer those faster. But twice a week is a level of communication that I can commit to and be consistent with. And then I just leave it at that. So you sometimes have to just tell them that that's what your level of communication is going to be. Okay? And in these moments, especially when somebody's being snippy, it's not good to be timid. You must be firm with what you tell them back. Okay? Is because if they are a pushy person, they will walk all over you if you're timid. I'm not saying be an asshole. I'm just saying be firm. So with the lady who texted me 4 times in 4 hours, I wrote something about, like, I got your text, thank you. You know, and then something along the lines of, in the future, please only send one text and I will answer as quick as I can. So it was firm in the sense that it wasn't like, I didn't apologize for anything. I didn't say, oh, I'm sorry I wasn't able to respond. Because no shit, I wasn't able to respond. I was training people. So don't apologize for things that you're not, like, not your fault, right? So when you have clients who are more needy than what's reasonable, make sure you've set boundaries already. If you haven't, then it's your fault. So create boundaries and set them now. If you have set boundaries in the past, remind them of what the boundaries are, and then even offer an opportunity for them to work with someone else if they would expect a different level of communication. That really lets somebody realize that, hey, I'm happy to help you, but I don't owe you anything. You don't own me. And sometimes people act that way. And then always remember that one client isn't worth ruining your whole job experience, your whole life, or kind of making you like negative. So when you lose one client, you will gain a client back. So if you have a client who does not fit well, and they're kind of snippy, they're negative in the communication, they're super ultra needy, you might be better off just letting them go and then growing from there. Will you get some maybe negative word of mouth from one person? Maybe. But one person ain't going to break you. Okay? So in general, if somebody asks you a question, think of it as a compliment. Because they're asking you means that they value your opinion. So respond as if it's a compliment. How positive do you respond when you get compliments? It's like, oh, thank you, blah, 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 is how you respond. So that's the way you want to respond to questions, is remember it's a compliment. Then make sure you set expectations with yourself in terms of scheduling when you'll respond to clients, and then set expectations with your clients. And then hold true to them and be satisfied in the effort that you've devoted and recognize that you are going to give your best, but you don't have to give away your life. Okay? So find that balance, whatever that balance is for you. So set a schedule that balances time for yourself and balances time for others. Don't blend the two. Make sure you keep them separate. Remember, you have to be healthy and happy first for you then to be able to share healthiness and happiness into other people's lives. So don't lose yourself trying to take care of other people. Find a balance, but make sure you keep true to yourself and you keep time for yourself. Okay? Cool. So, hopefully this helped. If you have any questions, if you're a trainer and you have any specific questions, so most of these trainer podcasts, I'm just kind of winging it and going by whatever responses I get. So anything you want to know about, please, please, please email us. And we'll make sure we make a podcast about it. Or if it's something super specific, we'll just give you the answer. Okay? But please reach out if you're a trainer and you have any questions or any interests or maybe things you ever wondered about. So please let us know and we're happy to help. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. So, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.